word here is 14:11. Concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of a seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power. That's word 14:11. According to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship, for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are you also the called of Jesus Christ. So, declared to be the Son of God with power, that power is 14:11. That's the same word. This is talking about the power of Jesus. 14:11, it was the same word that was taught about the power that we received with the Holy Ghost and the power that we have, the same power of Jesus. Romans 15:17-19. I have therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. So by the power of the Spirit of God was that Paul was doing all these miracles, and that was 14:11. The same power of Jesus, the same power that we have. 1 Corinthians 1:17-18, it's 14:11. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of known effects. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. 14:11. The power of God. So even the preaching of the cross, there is power in the preaching of the cross to convert, to gain people to Jesus. When you do it, there is the dynamic power. 1 Corinthians 2:3-5. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So, if you're not a good preacher, it doesn't matter. That's not the requirement. The requirement is that you have the power of God. What do you rather have? A wonderful preacher out there with beautiful words, and then he can't raise a dead, or heal the sick, or cast out demons. Or somebody that can tell you three blubbery things that nobody understands, but he can raise the dead and cast out demons and heal the sick. What would you rather have? Do you want to be entertained? Or do you want to be where God is? 2 Corinthians 4:5 said, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Okay. How many times have you heard the pastor preaching about himself? About his wife, about his kid, about when he met the cutest, prettiest thing he ever saw back there when he was a teenager and he married her, and all those stories that they say, that's a preaching of ourselves. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. That power is 14:11. So, that's why we need to be humble and meek, but just do these miracles in the face of everybody for them to believe. Because they have to believe in the power of God and not in you. That's why this dramatist that we have preaching around and doing all these great things and orators that speak so pretty and all that. That's not what God is looking for. God is looking for somebody that can't even talk, but can do the miracles, like Moses. Moses said he couldn't talk. I'm sure he didn't learn to talk either, but he could do the miracles. And he was the one who led the Jewish people out of bondage. That's who God chose, somebody who couldn't talk. The miracles. Okay. 2 Corinthians 6:1 is 49:03. We then, says Paul, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. And what is the grace of God, maybe? Not only salvation, but that power, because it's the Holy Spirit, it's a grace of God. Don't receive it in vain. You receive it, you have it, but if you're not doing anything with it, you receive it in vain. So we then, as workers together with him, and that word is 49:03, to be a fellow worker, cooperate, help with, work together. So we then, as working together with Jesus, as fellow workers, cooperating one with each other, beseech you that do not receive the grace of God in vain. 2 Corinthians 6, 3-7. That's 14:11. Given no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distress, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. So, including in all this, in all your holiness, in all your righteousness, in all your sacrificing, in all that you have to go through when people hate you and they might want to stone you to death and all that, still, in all this, you still have to have the power of God, including in all that. The power of God. If you don't use the power of God, you might not be a disciple. If you don't use it, that's a qualification to be a disciple, not only to love Jesus and believe in him, but to use the power of God. Because he gained that with his blood to bring the power upon us. And here we have it, and we don't use it. Why would the little wife that spent $30,000 out of her inheritance say about the husband that she purchased a complete carpentry shop for him because that's what he wanted, and then he has it, and he doesn't do anything with it? How does that woman feel? I would kill him. You know? But wouldn't Jesus feel like killing us too?
That's
the problem. Okay. Ephesians 3, 6-7 is 14:11 too. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. See, now we're talking about us. The Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his powers. That's the grace of God. He's saying that the grace of God was the effectual working of his power. So don't do the grace of God, don't have the grace of God in vain. You have to put it to work. The effectual working of his power, 14:11. Ephesians 3, 20-21. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask of or think, according to the power that works in us. Well, is it working in us? If it's not working in us, that doesn't apply to us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. according to the power that works in us, He does exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. According to the power that works in us. So we might be missing a lot here if we don't say, okay, we have the power, here we go. Jesus went to the cross, shed His blood so that the Holy Spirit could come upon us, and the Holy Spirit means a power. And if we're not using it, we don't belong to His club. You know, we are the power club, the power of God club. It's His ecclesia, His church. And if we don't use it, then what are we doing? Might as well just go be Buddhists or something else.
And His last words before He ascended were cast out demons,
right? He said, wait in the upper room for the power of God to come upon you. And then you could be witness of me. You think witnessing is just saying, Jesus loves you, here's a little tract. That's not witnessing. Witnessing is, what's the matter with you? You have a headache? Let me cast it out in the name of Jesus. And just cast it out, and the person says, oh, the headache is gone. I said, isn't that better than aspirin? That was Jesus. That's Jesus. That's the power of God.
God must be real.
Yeah, exactly. You have to demonstrate the power of God for people to believe. Because even sometimes demonstrating the power of God, they won't even believe. So if you don't demonstrate the power of God, how many opportunity or chance do you have that they will believe?
They won't believe no matter how much you tell them. So many people like,
yeah, but that's just word. You have to show them the power of God.
I don't know if I was to say it, I would believe.
Okay, Ephesians 6, 9 to 10 is word 2904. Is, and ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is there respect of persons within. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That's Ephesians 6, 9 to 10. And that's 2904, which is vigor, dominion, might, power, strength.
What was Ephesians?
Okay. Philippians 2, 12 and 13. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which works in you to will and to do of His own, of His good pleasure. And that's works. That's to be a fellow worker, cooperate, etc. It's 49:3. Colossians 1:8-12. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may, and this is 29:4, that you may might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. I'm going to read it again because it's long, so we can get something out of that. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord in all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might. And that might is probably 14:11. According to his glorious power, and that power was 29:4. 29:4, vigor, dominion, might, power, strength. That's why there's two different words that mean the same thing. Unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Colossians 1:27-29 is 17:53. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. According to his working, 1753, is efficiency, energy, operation, strong or effectual working, which is energeia, which is the word energy for us. Energy. So it's striving or working according to his energy, which works in me mightily. He is able to discern what is his own power and what is Jesus' power. So he knew that whenever he did something like that, like healing the sick or raising the dead or casting out demons or anything else, like multiplying food or anything else that Elijah did, parting the river so you can walk over dry ground, and all this kind of thing is his energy working in you, his power working in you. And he said, which worketh in me mightily. And why does he say that? Because he probably didn't miss an opportunity to show his power. He didn't miss an opportunity to show his power. That's what Paul wanted to do all the time, show his power. Because that way people would say, this is God. This is the real God. Because he was working among the pagans, among the Gentiles he was working. And he had to show the power of God in order to be able to talk about Jesus Christ. You know, I think probably the effectual way to do it is to show the power first and then talk about Jesus. Because then you've got their attention. Ephesians 1:16-23, there is first 14:11 and afterwards 29:4. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. In the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe? Okay, the power is the great power, the greatness of his power, the excellent, exceeding greatness, I mean, that's big, exceeding greatness of his power is to us who believe. Okay, just us. You believe, you have the exceeding greatness of his power in you. Okay. According to the working of his mighty power. I mean, that sounds redundant, but I'm going to read it again. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. And that is the scripture you have to read about 10 times to get something out of it. 1 Thessalonians 1:5 is 14:11. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. So, this thing of just preaching and not showing his power, that's not the way it is. Sorry. There's a lot of churches that are not doing it right. You have to show his power. Okay. Next one, 2 Thessalonians 1:10 to 12. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because of our testimony among you was believed in that day when he shall come in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. Faith with power. It's like love and marriage. You can have one without the other. If you have faith, then show the power. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's 14:11. Okay. If you show the power, if you have faith and you show the power, then the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be glorified in you. You will be glorifying Jesus Christ. You will be glorifying the name of Jesus Christ. Because when you do these demonstrations of power, you do them in the name of Jesus. You say, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Or in the name of Jesus, Lord, send her soul back to her body and raise this girl from the dead. In the name of Jesus. And the people see it, and they say, she said in the name of Jesus. And Jesus is glorified. That's how you glorify Jesus. And you in him, you get glorified in him. According to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now 2 Timothy 3:1 to 5 is 14:11. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Form of godliness. Okay, you have all the praise band and all the your choir and, you know, all the things, and you have this good sermon that you might have got out of the internet, it doesn't matter. But you're denying the power. Because at the end of the sermon is you say the blessing and go home. And the lame and the sick and the depressed and people full of demons, just go home. Nothing happened.
they came up.
Yes, well, God just is saying, you know, well, I went to church. That's all, you know, that's all there is to it. I just went to church. You didn't get anything. You didn't get anything spiritually. You didn't get anything. You didn't get your needs met. Because at least they could attempt to do it. And it could be that it's a tremendous pride that they don't want to do it. But what if I pray for her and she doesn't get healed? What if I tell the demon to come out and the demon doesn't come out? I'm going to lose face in front of everybody. See? That's pride. That's not being humble. That's not being humble. If you don't try because of that, then you're not humble. So you'd rather not try so that people can think highly of you. Okay, that's the end. And I hope that you got a new perspective.